So, as we get ready for some more prayer, let me draw your attention to our two prayer quilts. At the end of the service, on the table outside the glass doors, they will be there for you to tie a knot and say a prayer and sign the card so that they know that they are in our prayers. So, as you know, when I get ready to do the prayer for you and I'm crafting it, I like to know what our theme is, and so I heard that it was the Lion King. And I thought, well, simple, because there's just one theme and point, the Lion King. No. So I was at a loss for what to pray about. What do I need to have as my theme to my prayer? And you probably don't know this about me, but I wasn't raised in a family that was very musical, but for some reason I turned into a child and an adult who's very inclined to love music, so I probably know every musical that there is. I have a personal spot in my heart for Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and I have been known, which is fortunate that I live by myself, but I've been known to bust out into song at any random moment and to include my dog and cat's name in the song so that they feel as if we are all one. So when Pastor Sherry said it's the Lion King, I thought, okay, what do I channel from the Lion King? And what came up was, Das Fatenya Mamacita Mamata. But then this morning, Liz LaForge said, what are you saying? What are the words? And I said, I don't know. Things come out at that, you know, in that tune, and I think that was what I thought with today's prayer. I just prayed what came out, and here's what it is. So pray with me. Lord, we are but a small part in your grand scheme of things and the cycle of life as you've created it. We live each day with moments happening all the time that remind us of that continuum, that you made us all very small parts of a great whole, that you have a plan in which we fit. But we pray that you give us help when we don't know where we fit. You help us in those same days to feel what a big influence we can be on the greater good, to know that sometimes where we fit can seem small, but make such a big impact, that while we may not be remembered, our actions in your name will be, that there are so many missions that we have and can be a part of to spread your word and share your message. We need only to enter those missions and become part of the cycle, perhaps as a leader or perhaps by using another gift that you have given us. Please be with those in our lives, communities, and the nation whose mission it is to keep peace. Help us to be problem solvers and not problem makers. Help us to provide a listening ear when needed and shoulder as well, and continue to guide us not only in our growth, but to be able to help those grow around us. As our world changes in many prominent but subtle ways also, we pray for reminders to value each and every human being and to help us to support those around us in our community. Help us to stop and see you in our spirits, to remember that you are there even when we seem to be searching. Help us to be your hands and feet to bring your message to those in need, but not to forget our mouths to speak for those who need a voice, or use our ears to listen to their voices. And now we're going to spend a little bit of time sharing with you our personal prayers. And now let's say those words together that God taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'll be reading verses 3 through 11 of Ecclesiastes 1. What do people gain from all their labors, as which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning to its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Not really uplifting, is it? Kind of dark. We'll talk about it. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you be with us now as we look at your holy word, and we look for truth that might guide us, that might inspire us, that might enliven your kingdom for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I never thought that I would hear a church choir, as part of their gift to the congregation, have an evil laugh. I thought that was the best. This summer, Brighton First is going to the movies. This is our first week, and through the entire summer, we'll be looking at different movies. Now, going to the movies is something that, for most of us, we've done for a long time. For a lot of us, you may still go to the movies, looking for those new openings and looking forward to those and showing up at a particular movie theater. For others of us, we've gone through the movies to the VHS or Beta. Any Beta people out here? Few, no, not one here. To DVDs, to now streaming, Netflix, Amazon Prime. Yes, anyone does? Okay. So whether we're looking at movies in the theater or we're looking at them from the comfort of our Lazy Boy lounges, we have this understanding that movies can be powerful and can be important in our lives. I can remember the first movie that I saw, the very first movie. We did not have television in our home. And in 1964, in the summer, I was 5 years old, and we went to see Mary Poppins. I was amazed. I was amazed at the screen. I was amazed at sitting in a darkened theater with people. I can remember as a child the songs and the animation, the dancing penguins. It was amazing to me, and that memory sticks with me. I'm wondering if you have a childhood movie that you remember, just a movie that comes to mind from your childhood. Turn to someone next to you and share that movie. What is it? What movie do you like right now? All right, my guess is you've heard some movies from different decades, yeah? Anyone mention something they saw at a drive-in? Okay, yeah, drive-ins, you remember those? Oh, yeah. This starts great conversation about the movies because movies are great. They can bring us to a place where we suspend our disbelief and we enter another world. I remember 1978, the movie Superman came out in December, and I was in university, and I went with a friend to see this movie, and we're watching, and it was amazing. He couldn't find a phone phone booth, so he goes in this little phone stall and he turns, spins around, and he changes from Clark Kent to Superman. It's fabulous. There's this place where this helicopter's coming down crashing, and he flies up and he grabs the bottom of the helicopter and he lifts it and he sets it down and saves the people. Anyone remembering this? And there's at the end this amazing thing where Lex Luthor causes an earthquake, and Lois Lane, who is in a car, is driving along, and the earth opens up and her car starts falling in and dirt falls on her and she is dying and she takes her last breath. Well, Superman gets there just after, and if you remember what happens, in his sorrow and rage, he flies up to around the world. He goes up above the atmosphere and he flies around the world the wrong way and changes the rotation of the world and turns back time. My friend who was sitting next to me turned to me and said, "Well, no, I can't believe that." There, movies are a place where we can be removed into another place for reality, but movies can also be a place where we shift and find out more about humanity. This is a picture from Schindler's List, some recognize that, where we see how broken humanity can be. But it is also a place where we can see, this is from a more recent movie, Hidden Figures, where we can see how humanity can rise to greatness with strength and courage. Movies can be remarkable, and I would suggest that if you dig hard enough, if you talk about a movie with someone, you will eventually find a theological thread that runs through, something that you can discuss that makes a difference in life. And so what we did is we decided we were going to look at the movie Reels to find some reality for our lives as Christians. So back in March, we asked people to write on their connection card, or I don't have mine here, but the connection card, that thing that you fill out every week, to write on the connection card a movie that you would like us to talk about. And so we got many, many votes. We put them on a spreadsheet because that's what we do. And we put everything on a spreadsheet and we looked at the top vote getters, and then our worship committee got together and said, all right, these are the movies we're going to cover. So this month we're going to be looking at Beauty and the Beast. That's next week. We're going to look at Toy Story. We're looking at Zootopia. In the month of July, we're going to be looking at Cinderella Man, Field of Dreams, The Blind Side, and A League of Their Own, sports movies. And then we're going on to epics. For epics, we've got Gone with the Wind, many votes for Gone with the Wind. Bob refuses to preach on it. I'm ready. Star Wars and Shawshank Redemption. And my favorite, our last one, will be King Kong versus Godzilla. And we will be looking for theological themes in those. And so get ready for some musical treats and surprises and a few film clips. And actually, someone this morning was saying, where's my popcorn? There will be popcorn, too, along the way. But we'll be talking about these movies and really celebrating the realities and the truths that we can find in them. So today, I'm going to talk just briefly about The Lion King. Now, as I said, The Lion King was first released in 1994, and there have been many spinoffs, including an incredibly successful musical. And while you may be saying to yourself, it's a cartoon, why are we doing a cartoon? I would tell you this, that in 2016, just last year, it was named to the National Film Registry of the Library of Congress because this film is seen as culturally significant. When I told my niece, who is, I don't know, 26, 27 years old, that I would be talking about The Lion King, she's like, oh my gosh, it is my favorite film of all times. I know all the words. I'm like, okay. So it is, and The Lion King itself has many amazing themes. Coming of age, good versus evil, loyalty, all of those are there. But what I'd like to do is just talk briefly about the circle of life. And to talk to that, I wanted to go to a place that talks about the circle of life in a very surprising way, and that is the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is is a difficult book. It was written 200 to 300 years before Jesus was born. It's in the Old Testament. It's among a group of books called the Book of Wisdom, like with Proverbs. And probably the reason it's there is because it doesn't really have a plot. It's a little bit hard to read. It's like reading Proverbs, just all this stuff thrown in there. And there's no real connection. And more than that, it's not exactly about God, but it's more about humanity living within God's creation. And the person who wrote it must have had a very bad day. What they talk about it being is like dark realism, that it's real and practical, but it's very dark. And you may have heard, as Dave read through it, it's kind of like everything is the same. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go. It is a bleak look at a circle of life, that there's not very much that we can do, but under the sun, this is how God has set things in motion, and that there's very little that we can change. If there's anything that's a theme or something that runs through Ecclesiastes, it's around words, particular words and phrases. So, for example, toil and work appears quite often in Ecclesiastes. Another word that appears is vanity, and maybe you've heard this phrase before. As a matter of fact, in verse 2, it says, "Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless, everything is vanity, all is vanity." Now, the Hebrew term for vanity is hebel, and it means without merit, meaningless, absurd. And so what the author says is you can run after life. You can work hard. You can build up. You can work to do things. But in the end, given a couple generations, it's gone. And everything is meaningless. It's a tough place to be. And I would suggest that in the plot of The Lion King, we see a twist on that message from Ecclesiastes. It's a more positive one, but it's that understanding that nothing matters, and the phrase used in The Lion King is Hakuna Matata, which means don't worry about it.
Hakuna Matata. It means no worries.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's our problem-free philosophy.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata?
Yeah, it's our motto.
What's the motto?
Nothing. What's the motto with you?
You know, kid, these two words will solve all your problems.
That's right. Take Pumbaa, for example. Why?
So Timon and Pumbaa are friends that Simba discovers when he runs away. And they just tell him, don't worry about a thing. It doesn't matter. And that's how he grows up into adulthood, not worrying about a thing. No one remembers the former generation, so why bother? And even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. Nothing matters. But this is what I would suggest, is that if we're talking about a circle of life, we're not exactly talking about a closed circle. Because if a circle of life is one that is closed and unchanging, that it does seem futile. Picture that the movie Groundhog Day, right? You know, over and over again. Or think about the MIS, the Michigan International Speedway, that there's that track that just goes around, and you got a start line, and then that's the finish line, and everything is the same. And so that would be a circle. But when we look at the grander picture of the cosmos and our life as it develops, and even when we bring in our understanding of God's working through Jesus Christ, it isn't exactly a circle of life. What it is a spiral of life. That there is a coming and going. There is birth and there is death. There are commencements and retirements, and there is change in life, and things go on in a circle, and some of those things are predictable, but nothing really does stay the same. Movies have been around for as long as cars have been, and think about the amazing changes that we've seen in movies. The late 1800s, just like the development of automobiles, people were racing to see what they could create and sell. The first feature-length film was produced in 1906. The first sound, the jazz singer, 1927, 1930s. Color comes in and becomes the standard. And think about all that's happened in the movies over the years in terms of change. From what we once saw in terms of the quality and the computer-generated graphics and the expectations that we have around sound and the picture and the screen and even where we watch movies. There may be a circle and there may be seasons for movies in our lives, but there's change as well. And if we apply that to our faith, what we find is that in the circle or the spiral of life, we can rise, we can be changed. The thing that we can look at is how might we, in this spiral of life, make a difference. There was a commentator on Ecclesiastes. Her name is Sydney Towner, and Sydney writes this: "It is urgent that we impose meaning upon our existence through acts of courage, loving kindness, and a compassion. Although the memory of such acts will not survive, the acts themselves transcend the world because they reveal courage and compassion through Jesus Christ." So here's the thing, is that if we live in a circle of life, yeah, we can say, what's the point? Because we always come back to the same place. But if we understand that circle to be a spiral, a rising spiral, whatever we do, although our acts, big and small, may not be specifically remembered a generation or two from now, we can shape the world. There is nothing too small that we might do that makes a difference to the future. And so when we act boldly, encouraged to maintain the dignity of humanity, to offer God's love in acts of kindness and compassion, in our lives, with our families, in our workplaces, and in this community, we are shaping a future. Now, what calls us to that? God does. Because God calls us to remember that there can be change, that change came first through Jesus Christ. Now, in the story of the Lion King, there is a call as well. Simba is enjoying his adult life, his carefree life, while there is great suffering in the kingdom that he has left, where his evil uncle Scar is in control, and the hyenas. And so a shaman, Rafiki, comes to Simba and asks him to look again at who he is.
Shh.
That's Rafiki.
Look down there.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more. than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
I love the line, you are not who you've become. Isn't that amazing? Remember. There is the Ecclesiastes, author of Ecclesiastes writes, is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? I would say, yes, there is. Remember. Remember that Christ has entered our lives and makes us new. God offers a love that is new every morning. Remember. Remember that we have been called to make a difference and that what we do in this life does indeed make a difference. It did long ago and it will into the future by the grace of God. If I were to offer a challenge today, an invitation, it would simply be to intentionally join the circle of life. Not so much a circle that is closed and unchanging, but to intentionally this week join an ever-rising spiral. To think of a way that we might individually act with courage. It might be correcting someone who disparages another. It might be holding back from a comment that we want to say in anger. Think of a way that we might reflect God's love individually in acts of kindness and compassion that are selfless. And I truly believe that by joining that spiral of life, whether our names are remembered or not, whether our single action is remembered or not, we will change God's kingdom for the better. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to be inspired to join the spiral of life this week. And that place, if it's not on our hearts now, Lord, put it there that we can do that will make a difference in this world. Maybe not one that we will see, but one we will add to by your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.